You are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. August 17th, 2015. Here we are, Revolution Radio, a listener-supported station that is particularly in need just now. So, if you like this show, and you like the rest of the shows, and you like all the station and all that stuff, and you think, maybe I could help. Maybe I could help bring out some truth. Maybe I could help by sending in $50. Because if you send in $50, not only do you help people, but you also get a bar of silver. Yes, a whole ounce of silver, 28 grams of silver, which is, I think it's currently maybe about $30. You know, it's about, you know, $30 worth of silver. So you're actually, you know, you're buying a bunch of silver and you're getting, you know, you're giving $20 as a donation. So that's what we can offer right now. We can also offer seeds. There's three sizes of seed pack, if I remember correctly. And those seeds will grow a vast amount of vegetables. Now, if there are thousands, many thousands, tens of thousands of seeds in the pack. I'm enjoying this year's tomatoes, I think, from now, and some kale. it's got all the good stuff, some interesting exotic things that obviously I can't grow in Britain, but... So if anybody wants some slightly more exotic seeds, I'll package them off to you. Just send me an email, and I'll see if I can get in touch with Todd Fickle. Todd Fickle is a gentleman I spoke to many years ago, really when I started doing radio, and he was my guest, and he came up with a brilliant idea, which is the Open Source Seed Bank. I'm definitely going to have him on. He's not been very well, but it was a great idea, and I think he should continue it. So, essentially, it's a swap shop for heritage seeds, non-GMOs, good stuff, good organic seeds that can be that don't have any genes in them, which will terminate them. So, yeah, seeds, silver. What else do you need? Fuel. I don't think there's any Revolution Radio offers that actually pertain to fuel. Maybe there's, but I have a new show. It runs on Thursday afternoons in the States, and it's called Full Spectrum. It'll be the 2-hour slot just before Sean's slot, which is 9 to 11 in UK time. And what I'm talking about there is, I'm going to get geeky. It's like uber geek show. You know, sometimes I talk about scientific and technical stuff here, and I pull back. I hold back. I pull the punches. I don't, come out with the full tetrahydrodiethylmethyl quadracycline or something. There we'll be doing some Latin. We're definitely doing some Latin, maybe a bit of Greek, to do all the scientific stuff. And really the idea of full spectrum science is that, like many things have been dumbed down in our world, one of the things that has been dumbed down is the truth of physics, you know, the true rules of the universe, through gravitational laws, through thermodynamic laws. All of the so-called laws that we have of physics and science have actually been tweaked. One of the issues is the law of second law of thermodynamics. Which sounds a bit complex, but basically it means that if you've got a hot thing, say you have a cup of water and you pour hot water in it, the idea of thermodynamics, the second law of thermodynamics, is that the heat will spread evenly throughout the thing. But actually, patently not true. I think it's the conservation of energy, no, it's not the conservation of energy. Oh, completely. All right, forget about thermodynamics, but you can look it up, and there is a discrepancy. But the main thing that I am interested in is gravitation. Many shows I've done on here, Animal Spirit, with my dear friend William Stillings, who absolutely owes me a couple of shows. I'm just going to put that out, folks. He owes me some shows. Now, I'm being a bit facetious, but he is currently... let me just... If you don't know who William Stillings is, he was part of Project Pegasus, and he's actually confirmed a lot of what Bashargo has been talking about. And he also points out that... Now, what was his name? Certainly Andrew Bashargo was on the deal. Barry Satoru was on the deal. Regina Dugan. Lots of names that you know. And these people were all children at the time, and they were all CIA assets. Their parents were in the CIA. Thus, they were owned by CIA, and CIA is, you know, obviously, as we know, a Nazi organization, so anything the CIA owns, the CIA owns everything that it plays with, and can do what it likes with it, because that's their Nazi attitude. So, that's where you get that from, folks. That's where you get compartmentalization. That's a Nazi thing as well, you know. All of these things are all to do with the Nazi secret projects and how they did them, and it's exactly the same MO. And the other Nazi MO we've been discovering is that they learn their stuff from someone and then they kill them. Or they get their scientists to do the research and then they take the papers and shoot them all. Which is why you don't see very much Nazi scientists apart from in Project Paperclip. That's where they all ended up. Long story. So, by the way, you can call in. We do have a call-in number, which I can never remember because the tune is always going, oh, that's a really good tune. I love that tune. 2902? Anyway, you can call in Freedom Screen 2. You can call into Wolf Spirit Radio. Also, the Skype number. There's a Skype button on the Wolf Spirit Radio site that'll take you straight in here. And we can have a nice little conversation about stuff. And yes, the strange shafts. What the hell is going on? Where are those shafts coming from? Are they anything to do with CERN? Are they signals back? Are they signals from another CERN-like thing somewhere else on another planet? Trying to create links and gateways and stuff like that. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe if anybody knows about these beams of light, these shafts of light, that look very reminiscent to me of the shafts of light that would emanate from those pyramids. There was one that was in the Mayan pyramid, and there's also a beam of energy. I don't think it's visible. That is emanating in the same way from the top of the Bosnian pyramid. So who knows? These beams of light might be the sign that pyramids are actually switching on. Who knows? If anybody's got any more information, please call in and we can talk about it. It should be quite an interesting conversation. what else has been going on? Yeah, so the Full Spectrum Science Program... is Thursdays, and on that I want to talk about gravitation. Yes, I was talking about William Stillings. And so I hope to have him and have a really, really seriously geek conversation, because he can geek out. I mean, he doesn't talk about not much stimulation to geek out and start talking about bismuth and orbital rotation and now what is it? Okay, so if the Stillings has two elements, are either rotators or oscillators, and the odd numbered elements you know, element number 23, 27. Those are oscillators. O for odd, O for oscillators. That's how I remember. And the other ones, the even-numbered elements, are rotators. I think it's a rotator. Is that a rotator? I think that's what the word he uses. Anyway, they're one or the other. And what happens is that according to different elemental structuring, you can separate them. And that's what that scalar wave did in 9/11, according to his story, is that it basically dismantled reality by separating all the even-numbered elements and transporting them to a time domain. Still don't know what a time domain is, but basically they were beamed out. Basically, half of the building was beamed out. And the odd-numbered elements were like the things that were left in the dust, and the even-numbered elements were the ones that disappeared, thus allowing all the steel that had been created, because iron is 56, it's an even-numbered element. Yep. Oh, there we go. Yeah, let's bring him in. And all the even-numbered elements are beamed out. That it was part of the... Yeah, it's a long story about 9/11. We'll maybe talk about it another time. But I am joined by the mysterious, the dramatic, Mr. Rowe. Hi, Doriel. How are you?
Okay, I'm on the air. I think I made it.
You're on the air. You're definitely on the air. Clean as a whistle, as if you're sitting in my headphones.
Might even be in your head a little bit. You know, two things. I just heard you. I posted a thing in your Skype message about the beams.
Yes, thank you.
I thought I was thinking, ooh, what is this? Maybe it's something really cool, but. Unfortunately, it might be as mundane as what they call rolling shutter artifact. And at first I'm like, well, maybe they're trying to explain away something, you know. I'm always fishy. But the more I look at this and my photography experience, which is not too great or poor, it's kind of in the middle, kicks in a little bit. And I seem to remember this type of artifact way back when. So that there is a complicated explanation that I posted. I'll put it in the chat room as well.
All right. Let me just crack that one open. The rolling shutter is the single lens reflex shutter that is used in the classic professional photographer's camera. And what it is, in order to get a very small shutter speed, it has two rollers. Imagine like two curtains that swing from side to side. And you separate the curtains out a little bit, just allowing a little strip of light, and then you schlep the whole strip of light across. Okay, so that's a rolling shutter. And so what they're saying is that at the point when the rolling shutter of this apparent camera is just right in the middle, right in the focal point, something flashes momentarily that only that moment creates that strip of light in the film. That's what a rolling shutter artifact is. Is that right?
Well, you're probably better at it than I am. I ran across this explanation. I really don't know either way. I kind of, in a way, I'm hoping it's like the good aliens coming down to mm-hmm. energize the Earth to keep it from, you know, doing something crazy. You know, my imagination runs a little wild.
Well, I know. You've got a good imagination. That's what psychics are all about, you know.
I got a screenplay in my head, JP. I'll be probably posting bits and pieces of it.
Yay.
That, oh my goodness! It came to me in an epiphany, and I this is going to be a great movie. But I woke up this morning by the earth shaking me. I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area, and there was a little 4.0 earthquake not too far away. So we had it lasted maybe 2 seconds. It was not a. It was just enough like somebody came and jerked your bed. My cat jumps up in the air, and enough to wake me up. But that was the first quake we've had in a while. So I have to hereby predict another earthquake within the next 5 days so that it will not happen, because it's these non-prediction windows that we have to
Yeah, if you predict it, it's like the umbrella. If you predict it, then, you know, so you leave your umbrella at home to make it rain.
That's it. So, yeah, and I guess I ran up to the geoengineering conference the other day through a bunch of smoke, and it was quite informative, if not a little bit depressing, because of the information. That was Dane Winnington's presentation from geoengineeringwatch.org, if anybody wants to take a look. It talks about, you know, what they're spraying, and they make a very good case of the climate being changed and what they're putting into the air. Just the aluminum alone getting into the trees and burning hotter and getting into the bees and causing dementia, so that they forget where their hives are, and this causes colony collapse, you know. And now insects are also disappearing. They're not being found in the trout, which is going to be causing a chain reaction. You know, I think they said we're in the sixth mass extinction wave of the planet that we know of. So it's something people should be aware of. Again, geoengineeringwatch.org. If you love nature and, and the birds and the bees and yourself, you know, look and get involved.
So. Do love a bit of birds and bees. People have upset. I think about two or three people said, get Dane Winnington. No, I've seen Dane. Sean had him on. And I wanted to slip my wrists. I'd like some positive. If I tell you what I'm interested. If somebody is dealing with chemtrails in, like, who the heck is doing this thing? I nearly said it. Who is doing this and how can we stop it? That's all I want to know. I'm not interested in the fact that it's got this in it, it's made of this. Let's not get distracted by the details. And I keep talking about this. Don't get distracted by the details of things. People, they research the military hardware and it's all over the news. No, it's details. It's to distract you. Focus on who's doing what. Sorry, Dora. Go on.
I'm sorry, I don't mean it. They did actually go into the solutions as well, because they said exactly what you just said, that in fact there are folks out there that are just putting out so much information that are part of the industry itself, that are showing everything from space mirrors to giant ships, you know, all these crazy things to distract folks from the prime thing that's going on, and also who is actually doing it and who to go after. And they did include the patents and who is doing it, and there's actually a legal team that is pursuing this, which is a great thing. So yes, more people are getting on board, and they have a target, and they are going after the target. It's no longer just pointing up in the air and bitching about it. Mm-hmm. It's now taking action. So it's the next step.
Good. Well, keep me posted, and I'll see what happens. But, I don't need to know about chemicals that are coming in the air. Really, there's enough crap going.
I hear you. I understand.
You know,
Earth is a beautiful place, and sometimes you do want to just go outside and take a big, deep breath and smell the flowers and, you know, enjoy life. And,
indeed. So what you want to do is come to Scotland.
I'd love to get up to Scotland, JP. If I ever get up there, because I'd like to go by Loch Ness and all that. I know you're not too far from there. From me. I'll give you a little advance warning.
Sure. I mean, look, you've heard of Findhorn, haven't you?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Have you heard of Findhorn?
No, I've heard of a torn fin, but not Findhorn.
Findhorn Foundation. You've not heard about this?
No, I haven't.
It's a intentional New Age community that was set up in the 60s.
And is this all over the world, or
no? It's in Findhorn. It's here. This is I live near Findhorn. It's the Murray Coast, which is that kind of wedge, you know, that pizza slice shape out the top of Britain.
Yeah,
I live on the south coast, just below the south coast of that. And there's this. It was set up by Eileen and Peter Caddy and Dorothy McLean. Dorothy was a medium, and she started talking to the nature spirits. And the nature spirits said, "Look, this is a really devastated area. It used to be, it was an RAF base, so there was petroleum all over the place and all this stuff." So she spoke to the nature spirits, and they said, you know, this is what you have to do, you know, go and get the seaweed from the water and put this in the ground. And, you know, actually, it was what all the local native villagers were doing anyway.
So I'm looking this up.
Findhorn.org. Yes.
Yeah, they have a website. Wow, Fintorn Fairies. But it's interesting. It's a, spiritual community, learning center, and eco-village. That's my kind of place.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. You know, you'd love it here. You'd totally love it. And, you know, people come here for 2 weeks and never leave. Let that be a warning. We have a lot of Americans, lots of Germans, and lots of Japanese, strangely, and some Italians. Isn't that strange? Are you still with me, Doriel? I'm off air, damn it. Alright, okay, I need to turn off the Wi-Fi, that seems to be something to do with it. So, while we do that, yes, hopefully Doriel's still on the call. But I know that I'm kind of off call just now, and you'll be getting me back on Wolf Spirit in a second. What a bore. What a bore. This is so boring when this happens. I'm having the terrible internet problems. I should have warned everybody. So, yeah, this is Journeys with JP, and I'm reconfiguring my hardware. So today is a rather technical day, I think, when we do these things. Now, are we back online yet? Ah, yes, we're back online. So we should be coming back on the call by doing this. And, sorry about that, back on the call. I've been having some internet outages. There we go, Doriel. Yeah,
and we're back.
We're back on. Yeah, sorry about that. I've been getting some outages recently. I'm asking Sean to program it into his wishing machine that I get ultimate super fast, brand new, up to date fiber broadband to my door. Which, strangely enough, you know, that sounds like a kind of, you know, I'm in the middle of the country. I'm right in the boonies here, and. You know, of all the places in Britain, like, I'm 99%, you know, like, there's 99% coverage, I'm in that 1% of not coverage. Anyway, so I looked up my local, you know, as I said, okay, then I did some manifestation, visualizations of that, and I looked up my local area on the government plan, and blow me if my area is not in the current rollout for super fast broadband fiber. How about that? I haven't got it yet. I haven't ordered it yet. But it's just like, that's not impossible. That's totally possible. This could happen like in a couple of weeks.
Did he wished it for you?
I asked him to put it into his wishing machine. Yeah. So we'll see if, you know, why not? But because what it means, I mean, this is for the good of all, because, if I get fiber broadband, it means that everywhere else in northern Scotland gets fiber broadband, because I'd be, you know, part of the bailout. Not the bailout, the rollout. And being body-sattvic, I'm the last one to go to heaven to make sure everybody's in. You know, that sort of thing. So, I'm the last one to get fiber. When I get fiber broadband, it means it's a sign that everybody's got it. You see? That makes sense?
Yeah.
So, where were we?
Oh, I was just saying that I like the idea of the eco-village. You know, that's my kind of place. They have a place out here. It's not really an eco-village. It's more of an off-the-grid spot. It's down in the Southern California desert. They call it Slab City. And it's just a bunch of people that went out there. They don't want to be bothered, and they made themselves a little townette, if you will. Made out of like motor homes and trucks and cars, and there's no services or anything, but apparently they like it out there. But this eco village of yours in Scotland sounds a little more inviting.
Well, they're not off the grid, and indeed, you know, they've been going, it's now more than 50 years, you see, and what started out as a caravan in a disused airfield is now a bustling townette, as you say. They call it an eco-village, and you can see it growing. And in the early days, before there were too many local council restrictions, you could build some interesting buildings, but these days everybody has to follow regs, and you basically have to produce a ticky-tacky box, you know, which is not at all eco. You know, they can make them out of great little materials, but you can't make it out of, you know, we want to work with adobes and lime. One of my best friends is a lime expert, Dean Hicks, hicksplastering.co.uk, and you can see his work. I was talking about him on my show last night, actually, because he's just been researching some historic lime from this builder who worked 200 years ago and made these special pigments from Italy and Spain and made his own special blends. And he's decoding these blends. He's like, nobody has ever bothered to do this. Nobody, and it's like 200 years now, and these buildings are starting to deteriorate and they're needing restored. So he's got it down. So if anybody's got one of these classic buildings and they're listening in Scotland, which is very rare, but you never know, or you not know somebody who's got a historic building in Scotland that was built by my friend Dean, will match up your plaster work. He's obsessed by plaster. I mean, he's really into it, so into it. Nothing he talks about apart from plaster or plastering. But it was actually he that got me into the Arduino, because he wants me to build a special handle for him. He's got this machine. Hey, he is. Good. Let me check it. He's got a gunite machine. Do you know what a gunite is, Dario? Go on.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, they use it to build the walls of mines.
Right. So, and also swimming pools.
And swimming pools. And basically, it's a spray cement. You know, it uses compressed air to pick up powder, and it shoots this powder, mixing the powder as it goes down the tube, and then water is added at the end. And it basically accelerates, he calls it his particle accelerator, right? And it accelerates the thing until it hits the wall. And as it's been mixing in the air, in the distance, you know, it's in this high-speed process, it then hits the wall at hundreds of miles an hour, and it compresses. So what you end up with is a very, very dense material that is incredibly strong and durable. And essentially, so what you can do, you can take, if you wanted to, he hasn't done this particularly, we're going to experiment with these things, but you can take make a dome out of like a bouncy castle, what's that stuff, tarpaulin, you know, make a dome out of tarpaulin, spray the inside of it with this material, take the tarpaulin off when it's dried, and you have a dome building, instant. It's like an egg.
I had the idea. I wanted to make I had this crazy idea. There's a large parking lot area, and I had the sort of idea to take a bunch of sea containers and create a multi-level building out of it that would act as a co-op. And I know this is going to sound really crazy, but it would be a combination kitchen, community kitchen, homeless shelter, tech area, learning center, and cat haven, where they would have like day rooms for the people that would need a place to stay, to work and help with the cats or the kitchen or whatever, and they could have a room in exchange free of charge. It would be a big co-op.
Fantastic. It's been done. Yeah. It's fantastic. There are little villages of containers that are like that, but I can see it's going to be rainbow colored, seven stories, isn't it?
Well, I don't know about rainbow color, but it could be.
Because each place will have its own character, won't it?
Well, so
you know, so you have the cat people at the top, and you could have this maybe a winding staircase that goes right around the whole building on the outside.
And the object also would be to make it as eco-friendly as possible while utilizing the latest technology, you know, reverse osmosis and solar for the water and for the power, that kind of thing. And it would also teach people an on-site lab where people could bring their computers and build their own and take donations, and kind of a whole one-stop shop for the community to get back together and do things. And because we just don't see these kind of things for folks to have activities, whether they're homeless or not, or whether they're just kids that are looking for something to do. I mean, you know, this, I think a lot of distractions are...
Well, this is tedious. Second time. What's happened here? I've been up 9 minutes. But for some reason, I've lost the station once again. Yeah, I've lost it again. Oh, please. Maybe I need to get angry enough to go and get this organized by PlusNet. Yeah, XDSL line state down. Firewall replay check. I don't know what's going on, but hopefully we should have Mr. Rowe back soon, once we've got the internet back. How's my broadband connection? It's retrying, so we'll be up as soon as we can. Alright, there we seem to be back, and then I'll bring a call back, and we're back. Yeah, that didn't last too long. Sorry about that outage. And we'll be back with Mr. Rowe in a moment. Yes. So, yeah, the way I was seeing it, I could see, like, two containers side by side. There you go.
Okay, I think we're back.
Yeah, we're back. what I could see? I could see 14 containers, right? Two, you put two side by side, and then you get your cranes, and you drop... You put two... crosswise on top of them, and like you do a little tower of bricks, and then in each of one you've placed an arc welder and a ladder, so that you can.
Have you seen some of the things that they've done with these sea containers? I mean,
yeah, it's amazing. Tell us.
Well, it could be as mundane as, like you said, stacking them side by side or on top of each other and cutting little holes in it, or. They have, put like sidings on them, converted them, put them, you know, like T shapes and L shapes, and in multiple level stories. In fact, when I lived in Amsterdam, there is student housing, and I believe it's like 10 stories high, at least of these sea containers, and
yeah.
Each container is a completely self-contained unit. It can be done in a very artsy way. You can spread them out with little hills and in a park environment kind of thing. So it's all pedestrian and you know, there's just so many outside the box things that I've got in my head. And like I said, using reverse osmosis for the water supply, where you're pulling
the
water from the so there's no piping involved except, you know, for your waste, and that can be dealt with as well. And then of course you have solar, especially in California where there's nothing but sun right now. So plenty of sun for the solar energy, and it's so many new technologies that are breaking right now. I mean, I can't. Well, like the battery technology that Tesla is using. They even have chips that power themselves off of heat.
Yep. Got one of those.
So, and then, of course, there's magnetics, and, you know, you get a bunch of people together in a non-stressful, comfortable environment, you know, like a community laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody can brainstorm and bring their ideas in a science sort of way and collaborate. Who knows what we could come up with? When people start getting motivated, and they don't have to worry about like feeding themselves and sleeping and all that. They can actually think. We start to produce, and that's what's missing. Everybody's so stressed out and living paycheck to paycheck and minute to minute, and running around in this sort of quasi daze state with the news projecting what they're projecting, and everybody worrying about everything. Not enough time to do anything because they're all working. You know, I mean, we need time to stop, relax, take a big, deep breath, smell the flowers, and then do what we want to do. I think free time is a a premium right now. Everybody's free time is, how much free time do you have per day? If you have more than a couple hours, you're very lucky.
Well, I don't have very much free time because I run a radio station. In fact, you could say none of my time is free, but I try to maximize what I do have, and in a way it's helped me focus. But let's get back to some of these points, right? First of all, you talk about batteries, and I was talking about my friend William Stillings, who, as I said, owes me a show or two, and I want to do a geek show, and I mentioned Full Spectrum Science. Were you listening at that point?
I don't think I was listening.
All right, so I have a new show on Wolf Spirit on Thursdays, and it's a geek show. It's about this stuff, specifically.
What time on Thursdays?
Hang on, I'm just trans. Look, it's 1 till 3 PST. Yeah, your PST, so 1 till 3 PST.
Okay.
So that's 4 to 6 Eastern. Just the slot before Sean. Anyway, so in this show, I want to be talking about the science behind free energy and behind gravitation and all of that stuff that has been hidden from us. That's why I'm calling it Full Spectrum. I used to call it Black Operation Science, but it sounds a bit bad. And you know, but basically, it's the Black Op Science, the science that runs UFOs. That aren't UFOs, because they were invented by Nazis, right? The science that that is behind free energy technology that people get killed for, right? And the reason that they get killed is because they hold the knowledge in their own heads. However, if hundreds of thousands of people, or maybe dozens of people, who might be listening to my show, but people will download it. I'll be putting it up on YouTube on my other channel, which is JP432. I'll be creating these videos about doing home electronics, home automation, off the grid living, generating your own power, and I'll be doing it because I'll be doing it. This is what I'm here in my cottage to do. I'm experimenting with various things. So, you know, if people send me donations, that's what it gets spent on. You know, things that I'm learning how to do in order to show people how to do them.
JP, a couple of things that I might suggest you might play around with if you get a chance is two things. Number one would be nitinol and the nitinol heat engines. And number two would be a magnetic liquid spinning at high rates of speed inside a magnetic chamber of a different polarity. But if you look this up, both the nitinol engine and ferrous magnetic liquid engine as well.
Do you know what the vril is? That's the vril. A ferromagnetic fluid is vril.
Yes, ferromagnetic fluid.
That's what they put in the vril craft, the Bell. The Glocken.
And this actually creates a gravity well, if you will, or
yeah. It rips a hole in space-time if you turn it up too high. Yeah.
So, yeah, go ahead and play around with that.
Yeah, good idea. I think, I would love to have my own gravity generator. Back to Stillings. You see, this is all hinging on Stillings because that's his technology. He knows about this technology and the components that are made of it. And also, what is more important, which one's more important? A battery that lasts forever or a gravity generator? I don't know which one is more important because both are world-shattering, world-changing. Imagine, you buy a laptop, you never need to plug it in again. Have an iPod, you have a watch, you have things that are self-powered. You never need to plug them in again. You never need to recharge them because they self-charge when you don't use them.
The other thing to look at is basically the model for the Banks nitinol heat engine. It is an engine made out of a memory metal that actually gets stronger and runs more efficiently the longer you run it. I did a show on it, and I tried to get one of the individuals that was involved in this project, which from the Department of Energy and the Navy, to come on. And I got him on the phone, and he basically told me, "So I'd love to come on your show, but I can't." It's all classified, and there's nothing. That's all I can say. So good luck. And so that was that. But yeah, the Nitinol heat engine. Basically, it's powered by water at a heat temperature. You could use like a solar panel to operate a small heater that heats water. And then you have two chambers, one with cold water and one with hot water. And then you just stick this wheel inside this specially made chamber, and these little Nitinol metal paddles flex back with the force of a few tons. And they spin the wheel, and that spinning is kinetic energy, which can be harnessed. And put to use. So
okay, and you can buy them. I've just looked them up, and if you type in Nitinol engine, Nitinol engine, into eBay, brothers and sisters, £16.99 plus £3.50 postage. That's about $30 to you, brothers and sisters. You can buy this thing that Ro was talking about. There you go. How about that for instant manifestation?
Okay, and there are variations of it. Like yeah. The one that Mr. Banks was—he did it at Lawrence Livermore Lab. It was a very well-crafted machine. Some of these other ones obviously are going to be cheap, you know. But they demonstrate the principle,
yeah.
And you can of course scale this up. They also have what they call super nitinol, which is extremely pure. And it's basically nickel titanium. There was a quote in the documentary that I did play on one of my shows where Mr. Banks says, now, I looked into the background of this quote, and he says, don't worry about where it came from. Consider it a gift from God, and, just be happy we have it. Now, the research that I did is that quote is supposedly they got this from, where do you think? Alien craft. This is an alien, or they made this nickel titanium, and that's how we learned from them. Kind of like the theory of supposedly solid state technology supposedly comes from back engineered technology.
Optics, my friend. Fiber optic cables. Funny hairs they pulled this machine apart, and it had these funny hairs.
Yeah, how many things in our daily life that we use, like maybe even on our touchscreen tablets, is actually come from back-engineered technology from way back then that they're releasing. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, well, it's it's fascinating that we're getting it now. But what we have to not understand is that, I mean, I know you know this, Dario, but all of the science fiction films that we've been seeing, and they got all this amazing technology. They were really historical documents. We have seen your historical documents, and we have built a ship for you. We cannot fly this ship. This is for you. Galaxy Quest, by the way. Just in case you didn't quite get my accent, I sound a little more German than that. But it's essentially the Stargate and... Star Trek and all these star things. You know, if it says star, right, it means it's a document. You know, it's just like our star family. And it's been so separated us, it's become a fiction. Science fiction. What's science fiction? Really? Science fiction. That's an oxymoron, isn't it? Because science is about real things and fiction is about unreal things. Science fiction itself is an oxymoron. We should have known. I should have known when I was a child. Science fiction. Dad, what's an oxymoron? I don't know. Go and ask your mother.
Reminds me of that line from Ghostbusters where Dan Aykroyd is, back off, man. I'm a scientist.
That's right. I'm superior. So anyway, Nitinol, memory metal, is the stuff that they discovered in... And I remember Sean was saying somebody he knew, had this material that they described. When they were a kid, their dad brought it home from Roswell, and they would bend it, and it would, crunch it up, and it was just like foil. They'd crunch it up, and it would snap back into perfect form. I would like a motorbike like that. Why don't we make cars out of this stuff? For God's sake. And then we wouldn't need panel beaters. Okay, so then panel beaters. Who does panel beating these days? You just buy a new thing. All right, let's
know. It's a bottom line profit margin, you know, that's the problem.
Exactly. So the next thing is eliminating the profit margin mind. Right.
Yeah, we have to remove the motivation of monetary gain for anything. I mean, yes. We need to remove the money system.
All right. Yes, indeed. And so for the first thing that we do, right, because most of our money goes on rent and fuel. Right? Rent and fuel. Right? So number one, if we didn't have to pay rent on the planet that we were born on, that would be good, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
So I'm going to just right now send out a ripple in space and time by programming my Shungite spiral on. And what did I just say? What did I just desire?
You're sending out a ripple in time, no more rent for... no more rent.
No more rent on planet Earth.
We should not have to pay to live,
yes.
Really. We're the only species on the planet that has to pay to live.
That's
animals
right.
Don't charge.
So let's now reprogram that. We'll take that, and then we'll spin it the other way. And we draw it into the vortex and push it out of the vortex. Is that living is free on planet Earth. No cost.
Concentrate. Living is free.
Living is free. That's it. Because you have to keep it really positive and short. Living is free.
Living is free.
Yeah. There you go. So
food grows out of the ground for free. You see that apple tree?
The mother provides it. The mother provides it. Everything is provided for. If you think your garden's full of weeds, you should try eating them. They might be good for you. Okay, so...
Illusion.
All right, so... Rent. So that's rent dealt with. Fuel. Why do we need fuel? We need fuel to eventually turn to electricity or heat. Right? So, if we can then, let's say, fuel is free on planet Earth. Fuel is free. It now is. Right? And then, if you hold on to that reality... And the more people who can accept that reality in their hearts, just as a total fact, you know, it's easy, it's possible, you know, it's a possibility, because we're talking about technologies that can make that possible, you know, because there's all these there's no yeah buts. Fuel is free because it's provided for by the planet Earth. Rent is free because she wants you to be here. And if somebody stands in her way, let them be eliminated. Thank you, Mother. That is the. Is this the will of the Mother? Yeah.
I believe it is.
So, yeah. Thank you, Mother. Thank you. Thank you for the best. Living is free. Rent is free. You heard it here.
Fuel is free. Food is free.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mother. So mote it be.
Yeah, and so it is. You see? Now we're in that reality where we don't have to worry about these things anymore. And therefore worry is then a thing of the past. And doubt is a thing of the past. And doubt is the thing that has been holding the human race back. So we then need to eliminate all forms of doubt that cause us to not exploit our full potential. And the first thing that you think of when you hear the word doubt is the word debt, isn't it? Isn't that the same thing? Because doubt is you don't believe something is true, right? So if you doubt yourself, as we have been made to be, we do not have our own authority. So if somebody else says this is so, we have to accept that, especially if they got friends with sticks or guns. Then we have to become not ourselves. We have to become not true to ourselves, because our inner truth is exactly what we've said. Living is free. Fuel is free. Fuel is abundant. Yeah. It's everywhere. You know? Sun shines on everybody, good and bad. especially in California. Roasting the best of them.
Oh my goodness, it is very dry out here.
Yeah, that's deliberate. Anyway, but that's a thing of another time space now, because fuel is free and everything's abundant. And so corporations don't need to exist in order to create profits, because there's no need, because everything's abundant. You don't need to make profit. What do you need profit for? If you get everything you need, you see? And if you can, you know, that goes completely across the board for all humans, and it makes all humans equal. Because now no one is relying on somebody else for their permission to exist, to eat, to be safe, to have a roof. It's safe now to build houses for other people. It's safe now for communities to get together and build their own houses, because fuel is free and living is free. No more councils that dictate. Councils that listen and make wise choices, yes, but not councils that dictate. No more dictation. I mean, if we're all equal, how can anyone dictate to another?
They can only suggest, you know, everybody is on an equal
level. You just model it. You model it. And because everybody's telepathic now, you can see how your intentions and how your modeling of realities goes. And so, you know, you get groups of people who live in a particular reality, like your students, or, you know, what you're talking about is creating a community. You know, the form is interesting and fun, but essentially it's a community, and you see that there are different functionalities that are required within a community. You need healers, you need food generators, you need wisdom, you need calculation and logistics, all of those things, departments. That's an organism. It's an organization. And it still doesn't make anyone unequal, because food is free and fuel is free. And the only reason people are unequal is because some people made that not abundant through coercion and violence. And since food is free and living is free, there's no need for war, because everybody has what they need. I'm not saying people shouldn't work, because work is great if you love what you're doing, and everybody should do what they love doing. So, how do we do that, Doriel?
I'm thinking.
Feel, don't think, feel. I mean, just, you know, what does it feel like to be in that? In that reality, you can feel it. Come up to this reality. It's like, you know, a strata.
One thing I do when I want to take my thoughts and manifest them in a positive way, and this is just me, but it seems to work, is I'll go to like a place in nature, and it could be anywhere, somewhere in the grass or near a river, but it could be anywhere, and find a bunch of stones. And as I concentrate on what I want to manifest or do whatever type of Zen or meditation, I will at the same time, that's like Zen multitasking, I will at the same time balance 5 stones in 5 stacks of 5 stones high. And I find that if I can actually do that under, you know, 90 degree heat in the sun, there's a clarity at the very end that I get. You know, it's a weird contemplation, manifestation, thought, and concentration of the physical and mental, because you have to concentrate, of course, on what you're thinking, and then you have to balance 5 stones high. It's actually harder than you think, especially when the heat is beating down on you. But I don't know. For me, it calms me. I find my center that way. So try it out. You don't have to balance 5 stacks. Maybe try it with just one.
Well, that sounds like how your community will be built then.
Yeah, I mean, everybody stacking stones. Why not?
You know, we have a tradition here called dry stain diking, otherwise known as dry stone walling. It's just rough stones that you kind of gather together and you fit like a puzzle together. And it's a beautiful thing. You see it. All the old walls, that's how they're all built all across the country. And they've been there for like nearly thousands of years.
Yeah, you know, you wouldn't think that just stacking stones without any medium, any glue or putty to hold them together would last so long. You know, just stones and they would fall down, but no, they don't.
Gravity and friction.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, food is free and living is free and rent and fuel is free. Yeah, so we can grow food and we can grow crops and we can grow hemp, you know. All right, so in this world, what would we do about... Well, let's have a look. Don't go away, we'll find out. Call in if you're interested. Welcome back to Journeys with JP. And I've got my very... no, I haven't. Oh, he's got to go. So, thanks very much to Dr. Rowe, Mr. Rowe. Whoops, there we go. Anyway, yeah, let's bring in Mona. Let's see what happens. I don't know if you called me accidentally, but hi, Mona. Oh, no, she's not here. There you go. Hi, Mona. Did you call me accidentally? Did you butt call me?
Pardon me?
Hello. Did you just call me accidentally?
Why would it have been an accident?
Or did you actually just call me to say, hello, how are you doing, JP? How are you doing, Mona?
Didn't you ask for people to call in?
I asked. You responded. Sterling stuff.
I got a few gripes, too.
Sterling stuff. You've always, well, you know, that's has anyone ever done the phonetics of your name? No.
I don't mind. Do you want the real name?
No, but anyway, how are you doing? What's up?
JP, are we on air?
Yes, on many stations, so
be careful
what you say.
That's all right. I'm used to it, and so many others should be as well.
Oh, let me just by the way, this is my fellow Revolution Radio Studio B channel. Yeah, we're the B channels.
That's right.
We're the bees. We're not drones. We're the bees. Anyway,
we got the buzz going on, too, don't we?
Are we drones in the bee collective? This is why.
That's funny. That's one of my first commercial art pieces I drew. The bees and the hive and the cities.
Is it? All right. I wrote a tune called A Drone in the Bee Collective. It was a long story. here we go.
You're good with that.
It sounds like this. Yeah, it's very... It drones on it. I mean, it's like... It is a sort of a rather boring tune.
Oh, man, you could sell it for elevators.
Yeah, well, it's a theme tune for Hive Mind Radio now.
And that the way people and things and technology are, they could have the whole metal a screen and just vision... You could have a disco in your elevator ride, man.
Well, you can have a disco in my house, I tell you. I have this... I'm building this this household system using these little tiny computers that you can buy very cheaply for a couple of pounds. And they can be programmed to like switch on lights or respond to signals or all sorts of things.
So how is it powered?
From a USB or a little battery. Just, you know, the little devices that you get, you know,
You have rechargeable batteries in case those batteries go out?
Yeah. See, cool. What I'm going to be doing... All right, let me just tell you, my off-the-grid, low-voltage system. I'm using a cable from Ethernet cable, which is really, really cheap. And it's got these four pairs of wires in them. And I'm going to use one pair for audio, one pair for audio channel A, one pair for audio channel B. So I've got two sound channels, one from the studio and one back into the studio. And one will have 12 volts and ground, and one will have 5 volts and ground. And so by plugging an appliance, you can make a little lead that will plug into this cable system that is using just standard Ethernet cable. This is really, really cheap. And you can, like, put a radio on the end of it, or you put an amplifier on the end of it, and you'll play the speakers. You can put a recharger, you know, you plug a device into it, like a USB, and that will recharge things off the 5-volt rail. You can power your small appliances, you know, things that normally have a battery, have a little, what do you call them, wall warts.
Cameras.
Yeah. Things like that, the little rechargers, instead of having wall warts all over the house, I'm actually supplying the voltage as a main, you see? So it's part of a retrofitted main system in the house.
Is it reverting back somewhere that you could get a check for providing energy for the system? Like they would here solar-wise, that's why they didn't go real big solar, because it was at one time enough sunshine to produce it, to send to the power company.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying, the excess. No, this is off the grid, Mona. It's off the grid.
Cool. Well, I was just making sure.
Okay, but the idea is that it's...
Neat.
It's just self-sustaining, all right? So what happens? All right, so we'll talk about the power supply in a minute. But basically, as a rail all around the house, I've got two audio channels and a 12-volt rail and a 5-volt rail. Now, USB things run off 5 volts. And you've noticed that you can charge your mobile phone with your USB cable nowadays. So that's a standard.
I don't know those things.
All right.
My cell phone is my clock. There's no minutes on a cell phone for me.
Well, you know when you recharge it, you have a little wall wart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Well, instead of the wall wart, imagine you get that voltage directly out of the wall. It doesn't have a transformer.
By the right.
Yeah, the doesn't need a transformer because the voltage is there as well as your mains.
So then why did they create it that you need all this extra stuff that you don't need?
Well, because they supply you with the mains at 110 in your area or 240 in our area, and you have to have something then that steps that down from 240 to 5. Right, which is a ridiculous. So why not have batteries that can then supply you with the 5 volts that run around the house? Right. So I'm right. Okay. So let's go back to the supply end of it. Is that I've got solar panels. I'm thinking about wind chargers as well. Maybe even water drop chargers. Oh, this is a big party here.
Pardon?
Water wheels.
You have a party going on?
Yeah, well, we got, you know, Doku and all, it was just called in. But I just want to finish my thought.
Okay.
So basically, I'll have a... I've got 5 or 6 different solar panels that I've been experimenting with over the years. And I got this little system outside my front door, which is in the conservatory, which has got this panel in there, and it's got these old-fashioned meters. It looks really old, retro, and it's made of wood and really rough wood. I just thrown it together. And it basically is a gathering station for several solar panels that are then set to charge 12-volt batteries. And this is the next phase of it, is to bring that 12-volt system into the house and supply the house with energy that is gathered from the sun. You see?
Yes, I do, because...
So that's how the thing runs. It runs off... Mm-hmm. Now, okay, so it might be winter and I might not be getting very much sun, but I still have my mains electricity. Well, I can just slap in a charger. I can just charge the battery like a car charger. It's the same thing, right? And I have one of those built in. So I just flick a switch, and if it runs low, and...
Well, there's supposedly a dimming of over 18%.
What do you mean?
And that a lot of the smaller solar things are not collecting and holding as they once did, even new ones, at least here in the States.
And this is because of chemtrails?
I wouldn't doubt it, but, you know, I'm not a geoengineer. But I've been watching it for a lot of years, and owning greenhouses and the materials that we would use to let the sun in or to shade it, especially in Florida. There is so much change now, JP, I don't even but pray and give thanks that things are still alive around this area. I have a video on my YouTube that shows the damage of excessive right over the house spraying, where part of the leaf is completely still fabricated and growing around it, but it's not there. I mean, it's there, but it's not in its original chlorophyllic way. The changes are really strange, and that's what I was wondering when you were talking about the beam, because actually that's what you're trying to do now, but with different energy sources, and it's magnetic, it's electronic, and then you have to collect a neutral as well, right? To gain that resource to have the energy provide the power?
I've got basically solar panels that are all kind of collected together, so they all work together. Well, I'm going to be building little things that will track the sun, you know, that will have a little motor that will say, if there's too much on this side and too little on this side, just turn it, you know, just turn it into the sun all day. And it'll seek the sun like a flower. I want to do things that are based on nature, you know, based on natural principles, because nature solves everything.
So
my technologies are based on nature, organic tech.
Barber pole, how it goes around like that, because I've seen those wind collectors that provide the energy like that, and I think it is so neat because you can make so much art out of it and still get energy from it. It's like a drill bit with sides to where it's just constantly spinning with the simple amount of wind, and it creates so much energy. I like the solar glass stuff, too, with the glass.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm...
a lot of good stuff.
I imagined that in my head 20 years ago. 10 years ago, I was laying in my caravan. I invented a lot of things 10 years ago, I realized, that I'm now manifesting. It's crazy. Anyway.
It's cool that you can and that you enjoy doing something, because there's a lot of unenjoyment out there.
Oh, well, you know, if you want enjoyment, just tune into JP, because... I'm looking for ways of enjoying myself and looking for ways that other people can enjoy themselves as well, because joy is all about soul, and the nature of soul is love. So if we want more love, we have to have more joy. So in this world, so Mona.
Yes.
Living is free on this planet.
I heard that.
Feel it.
I've been getting away with it
feel
for
it.
A while.
Yeah.
Oh, honey, I
feel
did.
It. Just feel it. Just feel
I'm
it.
I'm so blessed you wouldn't.
Fuel is abundant and free.
Okay. All right.
Release the doubts. Is this the voice of doubt? Hello, Olive, my friend.
No, it's the voice of truth and reason, man.
JP,
you only can hear with ears.
Hang on a second. Let Mona finish herself.
Me first, okay. Olive, then I'll give you a thing. I have a shungite magnet under basically my pyramid. When you were saying that first time with Mr. Rowe, it was going out there. So I do achieve to appreciate that. And I get blessings because we don't all realize how free we really are. And it's all by a belief system, you know what I mean?
Jumping a hole. But I'm back. How you doing, Olive? How you doing, Doc Who? Hi, Mona.
Hey, how's it going? I'm trying to figure out when one of you guys who are so up and awesome about tech get a damn water and run it. A car on water. Stop talking about it and let's do it, okay?
It's already been out there. You can.
No, but I mean the people here, Mona, I understand that. I've seen them online, but I want to see somebody here from Revolution Radio or Wolf Spirit Radio, these awesome, smart people, real intelligent people, Mr. Rowe, all you guys right here, Doc Who and Mona and JP, you guys are intelligent.
You know, hey, Olive, real quick, I just want to say, I may be smart. The one thing I'm not smart with is making money. For some reason, I'm smart, but I'm dumb.
Living the lives of your ancestors. Was your parents poor?
We have to walk the talk and talk the walk, and when we have the need, Mother will provide. I believe that. I know it. And I'm exasperated as well. You know, $500 days, man. Oh, that was so much fun. The memories. Oh, jeez.
All right. Now, hang on. Let me just slam right in here. Okay. Olive, we're talking about fuel is free.
That's right.
We're talking about gravitational engines that are available. With a gravitational engine, you don't need wheels. You don't need fuel. You don't need a motor.
Well, cool.
You just have something that holds some seats, and it generates its own gravity, so cars will never crash into each other. They will be made of nitinol, so if they do crash, they form back into themselves.
So like a magnet, and the magnet holds it, keeps them from hitting each other?
It's gravity. No, hang on.
Roger Rabbit.
Please, 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 listen to me. A gravity generator. Gravity is a wave that generates outwards. All right? So if you have two gravity generators standing next to each other, they'll push away from each other.
Right.
So they won't collide. They'll slip past each other like frog spawn.
Interesting. You know, just a thousand of them just going wing, wing, wing.
Exactly. Exactly. See? In a world of freedom, there is no crashing because we're not looking at explosion, we're looking at implosion. So why I say no combustion engine is because it's an explosion engine, which is, some people say, explosion is satanic. I don't go that far, but yeah.
Every little explosion that happens, in even the micro explosions, they cause a very small rupture in the ether. For lack of a better term, and that can cause a disturbance. That it has an etheric butterfly effect. When you use a violent combustible explosion like that, even contained within iron like we have in our automobiles, that does disrupt the chi, that does disrupt the energy.
Totally agree.
The mower and the weed eater attacked me this evening.
Well,
I'm
there you go.
I'm myself to breathe out of it.
Well, look, here's the thing. Imagine if every explosion of what they call fossil fuels, which is the blood of our mother, every explosion she could feel. Imagine, she can feel every single explosion of every single rotation of every single cylinder of every single car that is traveling in the world at this time. Imagine if she felt all that.
Yeah.
Now realize that that's true. And so we don't need to do combustion.
No, not at all. I
don't need to do
you
explosions.
I feel it. It's ugly.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely, and look at the exhaust. I mean, it puts out. It's bad all the way around. It's loud. It disturbs the peace. When you come down to it, I guess bad's not a good word. It's violent. It's very unnecessary, I should say. Over.
So, what were you saying, Olive? It's all. All right, no, I'm being a little facetious, but I want to get to a reality. I want to get to a level of reality, a level of understanding of how reality is that we can. If you go to that reality, all the problems are solved. All right.
So we got hydrogen and water, and we know how to run.
Yeah, but no. Look, if you've got a gravity motor, you don't need this stuff. You don't need an engine. You don't need cogs and gears. You just have this thing in the middle and you steer it.
I understand, JP, but this is a total stoner thinking right now.
No.
Oh, no.
No, not at all.
Why? Okay, let me speak then. Because I'm going to talk about...
Give me 10 years. I promise you, 10 years.
That's how it's accessible, because if we do use the energies that are both ways, even though things repel and attract, it's just like being in a pyramid. You're going to be levitating at a certain height. That's why you shouldn't go too much higher over certain levels, because you disconnect completely with the mother. And that's what you're trying to say, is we got to reconsider reevaluating and fixing the pain that this planet is going through, because we're using disharmony to live by instead of harmony.
Absolutely. Very well put. That is exactly right, because all the things that what we call our society, our world, our Western world, or the Western way, whatever it is, all of these things are based on coercion and violence. And I don't like that. And I don't want that in my world anymore. And I don't think a lot of people, I think also a lot of people don't want that in their world as well. In fact, I think most people don't want that in their world. Do you think, Mona? Speaking as a representative of the feminine race.
Well, I felt mother. I know how mother feels. That's why I've always not kept my mouth shut, because I'm putting my foot down to the best of my ability to make it better, even if it is just a breath away. You know, I am a butterfly, and I'm going to make a effect.
So then you agree that we have the freedom of speech. Is that what you're saying, Mona?
No, I'm free to do whatever the heck I want, as long as my intent is right to get anything accomplished or whatever. I mean,
your
it took over an hour to
pick
my
cream
butter, and I put the love
right.
And the warmth and the little sizzle in it, baby. Got it cooked up. I mean, everything is a plan, a process to make reality. If I would have rushed it or had to do it or, damn, I'm doing this, it wouldn't have worked. You know, we all assume that things are instant. They're not. That's all I'm going to say at the moment, because it was good butter, or it is good butter. I'm on the third heat, and I got to...
How much are you eating of this stuff?
I got to put it away.
How much have you eaten of this stuff, Bono?
I eat it twice daily because I need the chemicals to keep my body the truth that it is.
Herbal yes. Supplements from...
That's right.
Herbal Fluzzies. And she's on her third Herbal Fluzzy, and she's starting to get a little fluzzy. So, listen, people, let's get sensible here, because
yeah.
I just want to see if you can get it, it's just coming in all right over there, just look up over on the wheat, on the east here, let's see if we can get it, bring it down, there we go, yeah, just a little over to the right, down, okay, there you go, yeah, just drop it down now, there we go. Doc, how you doing, mate?
Hello, you summoned me, did you?
It's Doc Who from Revolution Radio, it says here. How you doing, mate?
Good. To quote the movie, a quote from the movie Casablanca, round up the usual suspects.
Seems that way. So, we are here in our living is free, fuel is free reality. How are you doing? Welcome to our... Well, you see, we've created a ripple in time and space, which is why the TARDIS brought you here.
I love the TARDIS.
Yeah, I first met Ripple at a Pink Floyd concert.
I heard that.
Not to belittle Boone's Farm.
I was thinking MD-2020 or
MD-2020. Yeah. Oh, that's cheap stuff.
It depends on which screw cap you like best, I guess, Doc.
Oh, JP's
too. Everything's vibration. Everything.
Especially anyway. So how's the TARDIS this evening, Doc? Who? What's going on? What's news?
Oh, I've been listening to your show.
Well, that's good. At least somebody's been listening before they call in.
Well, I was too. I wanted to say something about
that
light.
Was a low blow.
About what? Oh yeah,
baby.
Yeah, but look, hold back. We'll talk about the beams of light in a little while. Unless actually, Doc, where are you going? Where are you coming from? What's happening?
Say what?
Okay, he's trying to keep from me talking. Would you just talk?
Yeah, it's you know.
I don't assume
doing.
That.
I know all those scams everybody tries.
We can't assume
ahead.
That. Don't be paranoid.
Don't be paranoid. Everybody just has their turn. I'm just asking Doc if he wants to take his turn. All right, Olive?
Well, you're sort of alluding to plasma.
Plasma.
With your rays.
Yeah.
Yes. Keep going.
Yeah.
What produces what have we learned produces a ray of plasma that is long, thin, and square?
That's your square wave.
And what produces one of those?
It's a generator.
Mm-hmm.
Fill in the blanks for me.
It might be a gravity generator, mightn't it?
Well, it could be.
It might be. You see, I've seen this kind of ribbon-like beam before, and I saw it on the top of that pyramid in Tehuacan, or whatever it was. Somewhere in South America, that is like this big square beam coming out of the top of it. Oh, I've seen that. Okay, and then I see this beam that comes out of the Kielian photograph of a pyramid, which is a kind of it looks like a DNA spiral, but it could be flattened. You never know. So,
yeah,
I think that this is potentially a pyramid underground that is producing that. That's my here's my wild, weird, and wacky theory today, is that pyramids are activating because we're moving into... Hang on. We're moving into...
The photonic portal.
The photon belt. Yeah.
And spin.
The photon belt, yeah. All right, so people who don't know what the heck's going on, the photon belt is the... Now, if you imagine the galaxy is actually a sphere, and it's like a magnet sphere, so everything that is northern kind of lives in the north, everything that is southern lives in the south, and everything that is neutral lives in the middle. And so right in the middle, there's this kind of plate where everything exists, and that's what we call the galaxy is visible. The rest of it is invisible in different frequency bands. So in this interface, in the boundary layer, the very finest of the center of the boundary layers is what's known as the photon belt. And our planet goes up and down and up and down and up and down as it spins around Alcyone, in its 52,000 year cycle. So, because it's a half cycle, it goes up and it hits the zero point at 26,000. So it goes up into the positive, then down into the negative, crossing over at 26,000 years. So we're now at the same place as we were 52,000 years ago. And so there are pyramids that switched off 26,000 years ago that are now going to turn on, because we're now in the northern hemisphere, we're in the southern hemisphere. And the southern hemisphere is the dominion hemisphere. The northern hemisphere is the domination hemisphere, which is why when I declare that living is free and fuel is free, this is because we're actually in the southern hemisphere, but nobody realizes yet. And this is what the big change is, and this is the polarity shift. And it's the shift from the masculine to the feminine. But like I keep saying, and it really bugs certain people, it's not about dominant females. It's about feminine dominance, which is a big difference. It's like we are...
Nurturing.
Yeah. Let's say feminine primacy.
You don't put it on nurturing, do you?
Yes. The emphasis is on caring and nurturing. Neutering. Nurturing. Nung.
There you go.
Nungering. Yes, and the nung will be eliminated too. We'll be dealing with that on another show, I think.
Yeah, that was fun.
Did you enjoy that? I thought I really nailed it all down in four superb sections. I might even put that on YouTube.
Well, it really makes sense.
Mm.
Well, good. Mm. I didn't see that. I'm a member of your...
I haven't done it yet. I haven't put it on.
Oh.
I've found a new video editor.
I just love the idea that you're actually putting into effect how to take care of yourself without being a part of the grid. I mean, to me, that's honorable. That's really cool. And to do what you're doing, because that takes a lot. I know back when I was looking into solar, which was, gosh, the 90s, early mm-hmm. 90s, that I'm sure things have changed so much that it's amazing what can be. Done electronically. That's really cool.
Mm. Well, look, let me just say something. People use mains electricity for certain purposes, which I'm not going to be using them for. Right? Number one, I'm not going to boil my kettle with battery power. That's stupid. I'd use the entire battery to make one cup of tea. That's
right.
Stupid, right? I have a stove. Yeah. But what I will do is convert the pump that pumps the water around to 12 volts instead of 240 volts. So that if there is a lack of the 240, I can just cut it over and still be warm in the house, you know, rather than warm in one room. Everything is, you have to look at how the energy moves and what you're using the energy for and how hard you're biting into the power. I mean, like, I'd really love to run my freezers on something a lot less.
Well, are you looking at the north, south, east, west, and the other elements that would be in concordance with that kind of thing? I know that kind of went far-fetched. I had a great notion and it went away.
It just flew you by. It just passed everybody by. Hey, look, I'm sure somebody will catch that one. Somebody will get that one. So, Olive, are you following us? Are you there with us?
I'm following you a little bit, but see, in life, well, check it out. In life, people want just the plain truth, easy, you know, instead of, you know, going around the circles to get there. I mean, it's got to be a way to explain it more easier. It's like even running a car on water. You know, not everybody understands technology the way you do.
All right, well, here's the thing. You want to run a car on water, you just split the water using electrolysis and frequency. If you get the right frequency like an opera singer, you can ring it and the water will just zip apart. The atoms will just say, oh, okay, see you later. And they'll very happily...
So how? But you need some kind of carburetor for that, right? That you just use the same carburetor. Right.
Do you need a carburetor? Yeah, I think you do. You'll need to modify it
because
hang on a second. Oh, you're not spraying water as a carburation. You're not carburating the water. You're splitting the water into hydrogen and oxygen and then pumping it as gas into the carburetor. So it will you'll have to have a larger nozzle to feed your hydrogen gas through rather than the it may fit through the oxygen through the petrol jet, but it's tiny, isn't it? A petrol jet's like microns wide. But it may be you might be able to just use your standard carbureted jet to get you. Look,
well, here's the deal. Let me see. Okay, so with all these intelligent tech people around, right, no, they're still running their cars on gas. So, you know, just tell me, is there something wrong here? I mean, you can...
Who do you know who's not running? What are you saying? I don't run a car, Olive. I don't have a car. I can't afford a car. So I don't have a car. And I run a radio station, so I'm in all day. So I don't have a car. I get out. I get out.
No, I'm just kidding.
So,
don't get mad at me. What I'm saying, let me just say real quick, and then I'm just saying... I don't see people running their cars on water.
You won't. Because
how would hydrogen flipping work with radioactivity?
You got to have some sort of converter that splits it.
When you say I don't see,
annihilation.
Can you not imagine people running cars on devices that split water into hydrogen fuel,
right?
And then could recombine it back? You know, can you not? Is that something that you're not able to imagine?
Why is nobody here doing that.
Olive, I'm trying to.
One person on Revolution Radio, or
oh gosh, that's pretty high expectations.
You're expecting somebody,
see it, baby.
Well, why don't you get your car? Get some plans. Uh-huh. Look,
but there was something. There was a part that you needed to put on there.
Well, and what's that? A brain?
Local colleges have that.
Yeah.
They got rid of it. You were not able to order it or buy it. I can't remember. I got the specifications.
It's probably not relevant.
Black case.
Look, Olive, calm down.
Go ahead.
Calm down. Take a breath. Because, look, here's the principle. You have stainless steel in a jar. You have it connected with non-corrosive connections. You put water with an electrolyte in, you saw or something like that. And you run a high voltage, high frequency into that, and it will fizz, producing a gas. You filter out the droplets from the gas, and you feed that into your carburation system, and there you go. That's simple, yeah? Okay, that's the simple truth. And the rest of it is manifestation of that truth into physical matter. And if you search, and if you make some friends, you will manufacture that. And you can manifest that. And so I want to see you, Olive, driving a car in 6 months' time that runs on water. Okay? Are you going to step up for that?
I see it too, yeah.
And then you can talk on the show about how to run a car on water. Do your research.
It surprises me that nobody's done that.
You're the one who's doing it. That's why. We're waiting for you. Olive, we're waiting for you.
And you guys know when it comes to technology, well, technology is your guys, it's Archons. It is HAL 9000. That's your buddy. HAL 9000. See, me and HAL 9000 don't get along. Because he don't like the spirit. And that's different than running a car on water.
Wake up, Mona.
You know, Karen's has both gas and battery, because it'll shut right off, and I'm like going, holy shit, wait a minute.
It's a hybrid.
And then you put your foot on, and then you put, and then it goes again, and I'm like, I don't like that kind of condition. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, you have to be open.
Just go so quiet, JP, and you're raising around cars that are,
Maybe they should put a vibrator in your seat. You know, like in a mobile phone.
No, are you kidding?
I could do that. I could make one for you.
Yeah, you guys, as I heard your minds go switch. Oh, God.
Talking of vibrations. Hello, Deb.
That's why the men around here flipping mow their lawns with these power mowers just so their testicles get stimulated. Because I'm going to tell you what, man, I'm over these noise contraptions that drive the body crazy. Disrupting the meridians, man.
Okay.
It's not fair.
Settle down, everybody. Settle down. Debrielle, how are you?
Well, I'm good. I had to jump in. This is great. I wanted to say something to Olive, maybe, as I was hearing him talk. I almost called him twice. But part of the thing, because I'm really interested in the shift with the feminine, and part of the thing is now, yes, we're logical, but we're adding the intuitive, which I'm a little too imbalanced on the intuitive, and he's on the logical. And so the way it's going to happen is step by step, and then just going with the circular thinking, and maybe not in a straight line. So he can get the water car, but it's going to be one little step at a time, and maybe not in the way he's used to doing it.
That's right.
I'm sure he can do it too. I'm positive.
We're all rooting for you now, Olive. You're gonna be driving. Look, Olive, you don't need to do any technician. You need.
Right. I hear what you're saying.
All right. Are you a manifester? Do you know about manifestation?
So I'd like get a gallon of water. It's all you're going to need, huh? Like a.
Mom, can I bring up that there's a projection of somebody's idea of expectations of a dream that maybe they don't realize is theirs? And like what JP said, go ahead, Olive, enjoy. Take pictures. I want to see it happen.
Yeah, what's so hang on a second. Olive, do you drive a car?
Me?
No, Olive.
I don't have one right now.
You don't have a car?
Next month.
You're getting a car next month?
Yeah.
What car is it?
It'll be a Suburban.
So you want a so wouldn't it
it's
be nice
a gas
to
gas eater?
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice to run it on water and then it'll be a water drinker?
Yeah.
All right. So how about okay? So look, there are people. Where do you live?
Paris, California.
California. There are people in California and people in Texas who are doing this water thing. They get quietened down. They get drowned out.
I've seen it on the internet.
Yeah. I saw a guy in Texas, but there are people doing it. Look, I can give you plans. I bought plans for $35.
People do it. Look, JP, I think I'm illustrating my point.
Are you?
Clear.
What?
That there's just not another, I don't see people doing it that could save how much money? A month? Like, you know, if you travel a lot each day.
It's not about saving money. This is about changing the world.
Right.
It's about the one. You know, if you want to keep going down the combustion route, you know, there you are. You're without a car. What about a car with a gravity generator? You know, if you want to go down the combustion route, go down the water route, because there have been patents all over the world. You know, been patents for hundreds of years. You can find them. You know, can't run on water. I'll give you plans. Look up the Joe Cell. J-O-E. Cell.
What? If you got plans, why don't you just drop them in my Skype box?
Okay, I'll send you.
Thank you.
It cost me $35. £35, actually.
Come on.
But I'm going to give you them for free, because if you can manifest it, you can pay me back by the money that you save. All right? Yeah. Is that a deal?
All right, that's a deal.
Okay.
I'll make an effort.
Yeah? You know, so I mean, imagine how much it takes for your car to run, or your truck to run, and
water.
Yeah, on fuel.
A gallon of water.
Yeah,
how far would that go?
How far it would go on the fuel, and then how far it goes on the water, and when you've saved your first $35. £35, which is about $50. All right, $50. You give me $50 when you've saved $50. All right, that's easy.
That might be a while for if you want a real promise. I'd have to do that off air, and we'd talk about that.
I don't mind. This is promising enough for me. You know, you'd be embarrassed if you don't.
Well, no, I wouldn't be embarrassed at all. I just, you know, sometimes I'm amazed that with the intelligent people on this radio station, that they're not running their car on water. That's all. It's pretty simple. I think of stuff like that. I sit there and I go, you know, I mean, you got all these intelligent people. I was wondering why
I don't think anybody here would want to be put on that pedestal, because we're all teachers as well as students.
No, I'm student.
That's
as well.
It. Okay.
So, I mean, look, what's your problem? Are you saying, why are we so clever? Or are you saying, are we so clever, why can't you... Look, I don't make vehicles. I'm not a mechanical engineer. I have friends who could do that. My neighbor could make a water engine. And I'll probably have a conversation with him, and I'll say, I'll build you the brain that'll do the frequency thing, and you do the rest of it, and he could do it, right? But I don't give a monkey's flying nipple. A flying monkey's nipple faggot about driving around cars. I really don't. I'm really interested in fixing the energy and getting light and heat to people. That's what I'm interested in. Screw cars.
A little really. Shot of this and a little shot of that.
I don't know how I'm going to
that's
screw a car. I stick to women, but I don't know about that, JP.
That's what the beam was, a bilocation.
Yay!
Yeah.
And I'm thinking it's a Merkaba point showing up. If I knew how to Google Earth
it's
and
coming.
See where all these areas was, I'm going to tell you what, you were right, JP. She's, like, sending signals out from below. to mm-hmm. above.
Yep.
But we also have to remember that they have technology that will make some of us think we're seeing stuff that isn't, and then we're going to be seeing stuff that we don't want to think we're seeing, but it is.
And we are discretion, the technology.
Right, that, yeah. And discretion has to be really considered here about the heart and not worrying about the mind and all these conditions that should be or got out of the, you know, just, no.
The heart says living is free. The heart says fuel is free. End of story. We're in the heart zone now. We're not in the head anymore. Yeah. We're in the south, not the north. Debrielle, sorry.
I'm not just so excited. No, I'm just clapping. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I'll be quiet.
Would everybody quit being sorry, please?
Yeah, yeah, no
okay,
doubts.
I am not sorry about what I'm about ready to say. And that's, you know, we talk about seeing things, and some people are abducted by night, you know, by aliens and stuff. People say they are, and they feel that. They feel like their spirit's taken, or they feel like somebody's taking their spirit while they're, you know what I mean? And there's words to say to these other beings, and you know it's very clear in the Apocalypse of James what to say. So that's all you got to do is go look in there, and it'll tell you. And so there are defenses, and it does come from the mouth that you have to speak it, so that you get rid of these very painful dark energies.
It's an incubus and something else. I can't think of the second
succubus.
One at this time, but it's like a male and a female.
Succubus.
Thank you.
As in succubus. Mm-hmm. So, thank you for the demonology lesson there. Meanwhile, back in Weird Tech Zone, have we covered everything? We've done the lights. We've done... All right, now, I'm finished on the mysterious pyramid light, by the way. Okay, so I speak to many people, as you hear. I speak to loads of people, and I've been doing it for quite a few years now, and I've had some very interesting hobbies over the last few years that have kind of all been drawing together and making sense in this one in certain ways. And you know, the whole thing about the Nung and the Candida overgrowth and the mechanism of that, There are many things I could cover, but the one I want to cover is this idea of the pyramid being a generator of plasma of water, which again ties the water car together. That's interesting. But basically, that what the function of the pyramid was to inside the king's chamber. Position is a an arc generator, plasma arc generator, which is, you know, what we use for arc welding, but kind of bigger. And if you have a really big one, it's powered by a crystal and capacitor and stuff. But if you have a really, really big one, you can open a portal in time and space. And that's how they spoke. That's how they heard the voice of God and all this stuff. And you know, the Holy of the Holies and all this stuff. With you know, it was you know a highly radioactive chamber basically, and they needed to wear special equipment. However, what this did, the purpose of this was to turn water into plasma. And so, you will find out that every pyramid that exists, underneath every pyramid, there are tunnels that are filled with water. And it's not because they've flooded the tunnels. It's because they're supposed to be full of water. Because they're like the roots of a tree.
Right.
They're like the roots of a tree that draw water in from the local surrounding water table, drawing it up through, and it's pumped. The bottom of the pyramid is a pump. And it's pumped up into the king's chamber to be converted into plasma to be beamed out of the top. Because it's plasma, it passes through the stone.
It's like a lemon seed, right?
Wait a minute. It's pumped into the atmosphere, and where it hits space, it regains its molecularity again, becoming water, freezing, and becoming a layer of ice that, like turtle shells, all the pyramids on Earth produce a single layer that all joins together like a turtle shell, people. Think about a turtle shell. All the different pyramids.
I was thinking Fifth Element, the movie, when you were saying that.
Exactly.
I was thinking Turtle Island.
So is that for protection or for information? Or what do you think the purpose of the turtle shell is?
The turtle, this thing, is an ice shield. And that's how the ice shield gets up there and is maintained.
The buckyball, the element.
No, it's known as a Dyson sphere.
Okay, thank you.
Not a buckyball. The buckyball is
The
geometric form. All right, you're running ahead of us. Come on. It's what's known as... Hang on, let me just get the old reverb here. The firmament. That's what it is. The firmament was an ice shield that was produced by the pyramids turning water into plasma, freezing at the space layer and producing a sphere. How about that, people?
That's interesting. Is CERN trying to do something similar?
I'm not sure. I think CERN is trying to pierce through, a layer that is not this layer, a different layer. There's different layers. There's different grids. Oh, by the way, Alex Collier did this amazing webinar with us the other day, and it's going to be available on a pay-per-view. It will raise pay-per-view. It will raise money for him. Any time anybody watches it, a few dollars goes to him. Whatever you pay, it goes straight to him. No middle people here. It goes straight to him. So, and this is run by James Harkin, and big props go out to James Harkin. He's a wonderful human being. I really mean it. So going back to our grids, there's also a planetary grid called the Archonic Grid. And this is the thing that's holding our telepathy inside the world, inside the planet. He was saying that when he gets taken aboard the Andromedan ships, they sit in this grid, disrupting it, and sending out sort of pulses down it, and just like imagine taking a spider's web and like poking it with a stick, and ripping it.
They
perturb it,
shake it up. Yeah,
there are disturbances in the force. And these things are very much like our, detection systems that we have in our homes. You know, we have sonar, the thing, we have sonar in the car, those little grilled things in the corner. Those are sonars, and we also have infrared detection and laser detection and things like that. And this is exactly how this Archonic Grid works. It's similar. Anyway, so this is another grid that stops human souls from leaving and going back home, and that what creates the reincarnational cycle. So we're going to end that too.
Well, you're pretty close. You say that it's in the firmament. I think the firmament might be what's also called in the Nag Hammadi the fourth heaven.
Yeah, and they could actually be talking about definite spheres.
Yeah,
or energetic layers. You know, you could say that one heaven might be the Van Allen belt, what we call the Van Allen belt. Which is not what a rock star wears around his waist.
The zodiac is in the ninth heaven, so it's pretty high.
Okay. Oh, I see. So if the ninth heaven is the zodiac, which is the stars around us, what sphere are the planets in?
They're just sitting here in the solar system.
Yes.
They're pretty close. They'd be in the first and second, no more than the third. Well, they're outside.
Yeah, you see, what I'm trying to get is, if that's in the, if the firmament is the fourth heaven, then, what they're talking about is they're just defining spheres around the planet.
Yeah, it kind of calls it a reincarnation tank, something like that. The reincarnation place, definitely. It's open
to levels of dimensions.
It shows that people were being thrown back down into a body.
Yeah. Okay, so look, we're coming up to the end of the show. I'd like to say thank you for Mr. Rowe, Doriel Conger, Mona Radler, Olive, Studio B, Doc Who, and Deborah L. for appearing on today's Journeys with JP. If you wish to, I think we've got a show, Muggs has got a show coming up in a minute, if not, or afterwards, we might do a round table if anybody's interested. Only if anybody's interested. I'm not just going to sit there for the sake of talking. I've got other things to do. But if you wish to join me, that would be great. So thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in and for participating.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Everybody have a great
day. Well, thank you for having me, JP. I think I'll get a car running on water.
Yeah.
You already have it.
Someday.
Your motorhome is, you're going to, look, Olive, how would it feel? Listen to me carefully. Focus on what I'm saying. How would it feel to drive a vehicle that ran on water? How would it feel?
Yeah, you don't have to pay gas. That's what I'm talking about.
How would it feel? How would it feel? How would it feel? Forget the money. How would it feel? How would it feel?
Joy and love, y'all.
Concentrate on how would it feel. That's how you get it. Thank you very much, brothers and sisters. I love you all. Good night.
You're so right.